Hello and welcome to. I think this sounds worse. Basically, I'm now in a cupboard. Or maybe it sounds better. I'm not sure. I've locked myself in a cupboard because someone told me that if I was in a cupboard with some towels around me, there would be less echo. And last time I decided the bathroom was a good place. Apparently, that's actually the worst place because there's a lot of hard surfaces. But anyway, welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I hope everyone is very well. A little personal update. I feel like a lot has changed in my life and become much clearer since I've been here being Mexico. I feel like it's given me a chance to take a step back and reassess things in personal life, which I won't divulge, and also in business, especially AFM, which I'm really, really excited about. I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but it's exactly what I would want from a business mentorship. It's no pushy sales, it's no forcing you into things you don't feel comfortable with. It's essentially, do you know what it is? It's client-centered coaching, but for your business. It's really how all good coaches coach, i.e., putting the person first, putting their wants, their needs, their barriers, their goals, their values, their why for doing something first, and then helping them get there. Anyway, I'm macho, excited about that. By the way, macho means fairy in Spanish. I know, I'm getting very cultured while I'm here. Today's episode is not about that at all. Today's episode is about something else that I'm macho excited about, which is, well, it's not really about the Women's Age webinar, but this kind of thought process, or what I'm going to talk about today, was kind of spurred on by me writing my talk for the Women's Aid webinar. So this is a little insight into some of the stuff I will be talking about. And as I was writing that talk, a couple of things came up, and I mentioned this in the last few episodes on the podcast, really. But generally, it's the importance of A, making sure your goals are based on your values and you are pursuing your goals for the right reasons. And remember that your goals should change. Like, changing your goals does not mean that you're giving up. It's called growth. Like, it is literally growth. You are allowed to reset your goals. You are allowed to change your mind. The plans that you made in the past were based on the person you were in the past, not the person you are now. So it's okay to, quote unquote, give up on your goals because you've grown. Like, that's pretty important. That's pretty fundamental. That's a pretty excellent reason to say that isn't the same goal that I want. Stop being stubborn about things you shouldn't be stubborn about. And on that note, like, Amelia and I had this discussion because I read a post that she'd written, and it was basically like, it was kind of saying like, you should quit. And essentially what she meant is you should quit if you're pursuing goals that no longer serve you. And it was funny because I'd literally just said to a client, what do you gain from quitting? And I was going to write a post about it. And then I was like, that's so funny that we said exactly the opposite thing, but we actually mean the same thing. Because I was like, what do you mean by that? And actually, would you agree with me that if your goals are in line with your values and your goals are ones that are still good for you, that are still relevant, then you shouldn't quit? And she was like, yeah, I agree. Basically, the whole point of the post was you should quit on your goals if they're no longer serving you. And so my point on this is that what you want now probably wasn't what you wanted X years ago, or even X months ago, or even potentially X weeks ago, because who you are now isn't who you were back then. And you don't need to beat yourself up because you've decided that, I mean, like, this is a ridiculous example, right? But we don't beat ourselves up because we didn't become what we decided we wanted to be at 6 years old. Like, I distinctly remember my two best friends when I was six. One of them wanted to be a taxi driver because his dad was, and one of them wanted to be a dog. Now, neither of those people have achieved their goals. Losers. But you get how ridiculous a notion that is. Your goals are meant to change because we are meant to change and we are meant to grow as well. Oh, and on this note, so when I had Hannah and Amelia on and we spoke about the values, we spoke about your values and how to figure out what your values are. I spoke about a workbook, and a couple of people messaged me for it. And I've actually redone the whole thing. So if you DM me at ESG Fitness on Instagram, I will send you a link. And it's basically the workbook I use to set values, set value-based goals, essentially. And also, like, the fundamental of that is starting by figuring out what your values are. Oh, and a quote that really touched me this week. It always sounds a bit strange, but a quote that resonated with me this week is nothing is so fatiguing as the eternal hanging on of an unfulfilled goal. That's good, right? You need to let it go. You need to let that goal go if it's no longer in line with who you are now and actually what you want now. And where I see this occur quite a lot is in people who continue to diet when it's no longer the best option for them, or it's no longer serving them. Like, often this comes up when they have this arbitrary goal weight that maybe they once weighed, or maybe they've seen a celebrity that weighs that way, or maybe for some reason they just think that sounds like a nice round number and that's the weight I'm going to go for. And they continue to put pressure on themselves to meet this arbitrary number. It is the most freeing feeling in the world to say, I don't want it enough. And that isn't giving up. That's simply saying my effort is better placed elsewhere. So consider that if you're still working towards a goal and you're not getting there and you're putting all this pressure on yourself. Nothing is so fatiguing as the eternal hanging on of an unfulfilled goal. It's good. That was a bit of a... I can't remember the other... Okay. So the second point I want to make is that this mindset work, or this goal-setting work, if you will, if you want to look at it from a basic level, I think it's a little bit more than just goal-setting, but this work should be done before you set your calories. Like, mindset should come first before calories. People think that what they need in order to reach their goal is the exact right calorie number, or the exact plan, or the exact workouts that they should be doing. But that side isn't really that complicated. And we tend to assume that the solutions to our problems are really complicated. It couldn't be as simple as small actions practiced consistently over time, or we would have done it by now. Like, it's almost like an ego protection thing. It can't possibly be as simple as a calorie deficit. There must be something more to it, or we wouldn't be finding it so hard. But simple doesn't mean easy. Just because the answer is often simple, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be difficult. And literally nothing in your life needs to be complicated or exactly right for you to get results. Nothing in your life needs to be complicated or exactly right for you to get results. You do not need the perfect plan. And I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned this, but here's a thought. Imperfect action. Eh? If you simply go through your days making pretty sensible decisions, the majority of which are in the direction of your goals, and you consistently do that, you will achieve far more than you could ever imagine, or at least than you could expect, or that you would expect, or that you do expect. So sack off thinking that this all or nothing mentality is going to get you anywhere, and start realizing it doesn't have to be as hard as you're building it up to be. Consciously and consistently choosing actions that are in line with your goals is the secret. And the mindset side, the psychology behind it, that bit's a little bit harder. That is the side that gets me buzzing. It's when people know what to do, but they're not doing it. Why are they not doing it? Like, that's the art of coaching, is figuring that out and getting people to take consistent action. I've been coaching for over 10 years now, and I can practically set your calories, formulate your plan. I can almost do that in my sleep. But getting you to stick to that plan, that is the skill of coaching. And part of that is understanding human psychology, listening to clients. Can't emphasize that enough, listening. That's why experience is so important, because probably most of what you're going through, I've already been through with clients because I listen to them. And that's the biggest learning tool as a coach. And then breaking down these barriers that people put up for themselves. And on top of that, it's making people feel supported, inspired, and empowered, and part of that, a huge part of that, is your relationship with your coach. Work with someone who inspires you and who you can tell genuinely wants the best for you. And on this note, something that I found quite profound this week, it is profound to me, okay? Some people will probably be like, yeah, obviously, whatever. But this was like quite profound to me this week. And this is something I've come to realize more generally, not just in coaching, just in general life. It's not what you do, but it's how you do it. The magic, like, really isn't in what you do, for example, in this, like your calorie target or the plan that you've set out, but it's in how you deliver it. It's in how you show up. The same thing or the same plan can be done or given with no personality, no smile, no passion, no charisma, and have 10% of the impact as the exact same plan, the exact same actions, the exact same thing being completed, but with all of the above. It literally makes all of the difference in the world. So whatever you're doing, and this doesn't have to be in a coaching context, whatever you're doing just in life, do it with a smile on your face, do it with passion, say please and thank you, make others feel valued, respected, and generally just aim to leave people better than you found them, and life will be so much sweeter. And you will get so much more results as well. Like, I'm not saying that just to make others feel better, which is a nice byproduct, but even if you're looking at this from a selfish perspective, if you think more about what you can do for others, you will genuinely get more yourself. And you won't have that resentment, because most of us have some kind of entitlement. Yet, if your focus is, what can I do for others? Then you don't ever have that sort of like bitter feeling of, I deserved this. Anyway, that's a little bit of a side note. Back to my point, how you mentally approach fat loss is really important. And if you're coming in, like most people, with a lot of internalized stigma around having body fat, maybe some shame, probably a hell of a lot of like societal pressure, you are probably making, literally just storing some extra energy mean something about you and about who you are and about your identity. So have you ever thought of approaching fat loss like this? I have some extra stored energy and it's a bit more than what I'd like. So I'm going to make some changes to my energy intake and to my energy output so that I can use up some of that stored energy. Like, that sounds very different than the connotations around dieting. And that helps remove the stigma, whether that's internalized stigma or whether that's like societal stigma. Fat is quite literally stored energy, a little bit of excess energy that you've stored. And if you want to get like super geek on it, call it adipose tissue. Like, people have far less emotional attachment to adipose tissue than they do to the word fat. Having a bit more adipose tissue than you would like doesn't have to mean anything about you unless you make it. Fat isn't good and it isn't bad, it's just energy. Having too little isn't good, having too much isn't good either. We don't need to moralize it, and creating shame and guilt and identity around body fat levels is not conducive to change. So essentially what's happened if you've got a bit of extra fat is you've consumed more energy than you've needed, and you can change that if you want. And that's not me saying it's easy or trivializing it. And if you want some help, like, please know that my inbox is always open. Just shoot me a message at ESG Fitness or sign up to Commit to Six or one-to-one coaching at esgfitness.co.uk. But the point I want to make here is fat is something that you have. It's not something that you are. It's not fixed. It is completely changeable. And when you tell yourself, and also on that note, like, it's not fixed, it's changeable. Stop freaking out if you've put on a tiny bit of fat, like if you've been on holiday or if it's been Christmas and you've put on some fat. You are in control of that. It's not now you've got some more fat that's going to stay with you for life. You can change these things. Like, fat, the amount of body fat you have is changeable and you have control over that. And if you need some extra support, we are here to help you every time that you tell yourself that you are fat, it puts you in that fixed mindset. And it creates a part, like, it makes it feel like it's part of your identity. When you simply have fat, that's something you can change. So that is how we like to think about fat loss at ESG Fitness and at Commit to Six. And if that sounds like a mindset that is more conducive to change for you, and you would like some help and support, then head over to esgfitness.co.uk. And if you've just enjoyed this episode, please tag me at ESG Fitness and have an awesome day.